I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Wars, insurrection, nation will rise up against nation, earthquakes, famines and plagues, dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. Sounds horrible. But then when I look at our world today and our news today, more than horrible, Jesus' teaching sounds eerie. Things have become so twisted in our world that it would almost be a relief to believe that the end was near. Our nation divided and turned against itself, devastating damage to this planet and the morally corrupt withdrawal of our country from the Paris Climate Agreement. Unprecedented natural disaster, fires and floods like never before. Jesus coming again would be a quick resolution to this mess which we, humanity, have found ourselves in, a mess perpetuated by human greed. Yet, Jesus says to his disciples, in the midst of this horrible prediction, he says, "Not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." How so, Jesus? How's that make any sense? In wrestling with this scripture and these words that Christ gave his disciples, I often turn to commentaries, to how others have unpacked his teachings. Given also that I only had 24 hours to prepare this sermon, I definitely turn there. And there's often a scholar whose writing I'm very impressed by. It is Father John Kavanagh, the late professor of philosophy at St. Louis University. And I want to share with you a 5-minute reflection of his, which I could not summarize half as eloquently as he writes. So Father Kavanagh says, "Devastation? Ruin? Emptiness? Is this the fate of the earth? Was Bertrand Russell right when he prophesied that our origin, growth, and maturation would come to nothing? An honest philosophy, Russell claimed, would have to admit that, quote, no fire, no heroism, no intensity of thought and feeling can preserve an individual life beyond the grave. All the labors of the age, all the devotion, all the inspiration, all the noonday brightness of human genius are destined to extinction in the vast death of our solar system." End quote from Russell. Kavanagh continues, "The great temple of human achievement would inevitably be reduced to debris and universal ruin." But Russell was a prophet without a savior, an apocalyptic mind that could not imagine a second coming. The prophet Malachi, centuries earlier, foresaw the same doom. The global blast furnace where all pride and evil are reduced to rubble, where cancerous growth is uprooted and burned away. But Malachi saw hope. He believed the God who promised a new sun of justice with its healing rays. As we lurched towards the year 2000, an opera of prophets took the big stage. Apocalyptic literature boomed, even if the earth didn't. Movies, self-help books, bogus practitioners of religiocraft, bestsellers, and talk shows buzzed with Y2K anticipation. But it wasn't to be anything new. Jesus himself in Luke's gospel saw terrible times ahead, a day coming when not one stone of our human temple will rest on another. He warned of the signs. There will be wars and insurrections. Nations will fight to the death against nations. Tribes, peoples, and clans will clash. The earth will protest with mighty quakes. The biosystem will spawn plague and famine. The sky will blossom with omens. Finally, there will be rejection and even persecution for those who believe in Christ. However, I have a question for the Lord. Has there ever been an age without such trial and turmoil? What century has not seen wars? What nation has not tried to bulldoze its way ahead of others, if not for victory in military struggle, at least for more respectable signs of gain? When have we not been plagued by cancerous life or tossed by mighty movements of earth and sea? And has there ever been a time when a true Christian has not been ridiculed and rejected, whether by friends, family, or state? Just wondering. Yet Christ, seeming to anticipate our wonder, offers this advice. Do not be perturbed. These things are bound to happen. Bound to happen. Life is bound to be this way. He's not speaking about the end of all times, but the condition of every time. Kavanaugh continues in saying, I believe there is at least one interpretation of apocalyptic literature, one far more solid than the endless announcements of the end of the world based on occult readings of scriptures, one that takes such passages as revelations not so much of what is to come, but what is now the case. Each day is the last. Each time is the end time. Each human being faces the end of the world in a span of a life, whether it reaches 8 minutes or 80 years. The world, its opportunities and losses, passes away for us each night. Every sunset announces a closing of a day that will never come again. Each human death, as Russell pondered, is the curtain of an unrepeatable drama, which, without God, amounts to a tragedy. Every generation, in some way, is the last, the termination, and each generation, like each death and every day, witnesses the signs of the end of times. Everything that Christ has predicted has taken place and is taking place and will continue to take place. We did not need to wait until the millennium or turn to Nostradamus to unlock the mystery. Life itself is the mystery. This great groaning of creation that finds its meaning in hope alone. In hope alone. Russell knew this. And since he had no hope, he saw all of human history, when all is said and done, as a cruel joke. For those who hope, it is otherwise. As Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, that groaning of creation is an act of giving birth. Quote from Paul, "We too groan inwardly as we wait for our bodies to be set free, for we must be content to hope that we shall be saved." And so Christ counsels us not to be alarmed at our condition. Do not follow the false messiahs and easy predictors. Words and wisdom will be given. Through all the turmoil of our days, our generation, our species, it is not death, but a new saving birth which is assured. In some final sense, not a hair of your head will be harmed. In patient endurance, life will be saved. We await then the arrival. O come, will be our prayer. Father Kavanaugh's reflection ends here with that word of hope. But I wish to add that the word apocalypse from Greek does not mean a violent end, contrary to what Hollywood might have us believe. It means revelation. It means an unveiling of things previously unknown, which could not otherwise, in any other way, be known. So I ask then, What is God revealing to us in the midst of the turmoil of our own day? Sometimes it takes a storm to know that you need a shelter. And sometimes it takes a storm to know the beauty of the light. That shelter is Christ. That light is Christ. And it is in Christ alone that we will find hope.